His arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's good to be back here this week, this Saturday, to continue in the Word of God, to continue with the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we finished the book of James. Well, we are going to be reviewing James, the epistle of James, this week. But before I begin, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercies. Thank you, O God, for enabling us to be here another Saturday evening to go into your word. Thank you, O God, Almighty Lord, for your mercies towards us. Thank you, O God, Almighty, for the richness of your grace. O God, your grace, which is sufficient to keep us, O God, you have given us daily so we can be sustained, O God Almighty, in this life. So we just thank you right now for all your many blessings in our lives. Thank you for your word, O God, your instruction for life that you have left with us. And we pray, O God Almighty, that you will stir up in us a hunger and a thirst for more of your word. Father God Almighty, we are looking for a revival among us, among the body of Christ. Oh God, we are looking for a spiritual awakening, oh God. And we know that it can only come, oh God, through your spirit and through the word. So we pray, oh God Almighty, that you will ignite in us, oh God, that hunger for more of you, Jesus, we pray. Oh God, open our eyes to understand and know that, oh God, many, oh God, are perishing because of lack of knowledge, because they have rejected your word. But I pray that your people will come back to your word, mighty God. We'll come back to that place of honor in your word. Oh God, we'll come to that place of trembling at your word, knowing, oh God, that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Your word prevents us from stumbling. Oh God, your word gives us hope. We thank you, oh God, that the entrance of your word brings illumination to our hearts and minds. So we pray right now in the name of Jesus that we will treasure your word. Oh God, it will become sweeter than honey to our lips. Oh God, we will eat of your word and be so filled up with you that whatever words we speak, oh God Almighty, it will be graced with your word. Oh God, it will be so attractive because it is your word that is coming forth. So we thank you right now that you are at work. You are doing in our lives what that only you can do. And we look to you by faith, trusting in you, Jesus. Oh God, some trust in chariots, some in horses, some trust in their material wealth. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So we come, oh God, with confidence this evening as we continue, oh God, to review this epistle to us and James and practical teachings. Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus, we will purpose in our hearts to practice your words, not just to be hearers of your word, oh God, not just to be fluent speakers of your word, mighty God, but we will practice what you say. Oh God, we will be a people, oh God, who will show forth your glory and your praise. We will be a people, oh God, Almighty Lord God, who will walk in holiness, bringing honor to your great name. Oh God, you have called us to holiness, for without holiness, no man shall see you. So we pray, oh God, your word will set us apart. Jesus said, oh God, in John 17, sanctify them through your truth, oh God, for your word is truth. So we pray we will be set apart through your truth. Oh God, we pray. We look to you, Holy Spirit. Guide us into all truth. Teach us your word. You are the master teacher. Teach us and help us to understand and live your word, we pray. We bless you, we praise you and honor you as we look to you by faith, O God. We glorify your name, Jesus, for you are great and greatly to be praised. We thank you, O God, for who you are and for what you have done, what you are doing right now in this season. We thank you for the lives that will come to you, the lives that will come and cry, Jesus, save me. Oh, Lord, we look to you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're just going to recap James. But last week, we finished chapter 5. And I just want to go over the two last verses again of chapter 5 of James. James 19, chapter 5, 19 and 20. The word said, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, verse 20, Let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. He who converts a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So the word is telling us that those who go forth with the good news and those who bring forth that good news, knowing that the good news of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And when we go with the good news, and when we go and others are converted, people are converted to Christ, we know that we have saved a soul from death, and there's a multitude of sin shall be hidden, for Jesus covers those. He atones for our sins. So when we put our trust in him, all of that sin is covered. Proverbs 11:30 tells us the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. People of God, soul winners are wise people. The word of God says those that win souls are wise. We want to be people of wisdom. We want to know what our priority is. We are called to go and to make disciples. We are called to go with the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to go and to tell sinners the good news of Jesus so they can be reconciled to God. Jude 21 through 23 said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, others save with reverence, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. People of God, we have to come to that place where we hate sin, we love the sinner. So because of that, we will go forth with the good news. We will tell them that Jesus saves. We will tell them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We have to come to that place of making up our minds, coming to love people, be moved with a heart of compassion towards people, and then know that when we bring forth the good news, we are saving them, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, hating everything that is sinful. So the Lord is calling us, people of God, to remember that those who win souls, they are wise. We want to be wise people in the kingdom. We want to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We want to go forth and bring the good news of Jesus Christ, knowing that the Holy Spirit is there with us, preparing the hearts of men. He is the one that prepared the hearts. We can't prepare hearts. The Holy Spirit does it, but we are to do our part in sharing the good news. For the word tells us that it comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word tells us that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. So let us go forth with that mindset and knowing that when we come in contact with people, we can ask them, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? We have to come to that place of bringing forth the good news wherever the Lord places us. So we are going to continue to review the book or the epistle of James. We're going to do a little review of James. And then next week, we will go on to another series. But we look at the epistle of James. The epistle of James was written, as we said before, to the 12 tribes, which were scattered abroad. They were dispersed abroad. And this, I believe, happened during the time of the persecution after Stephen was killed. We know that the church of Jesus Christ was persecuted, and the Jewish believers, they were scattered all over. So James was writing to the believers who were scattered all over the region. So James' letter, as we had said before, is a practical teaching relevant to Christians from every walk of life. So it was not just for the Christians then, but it's for us now during this time. And the main theme of the epistle of James is for believers to know how to exercise their faith in Jesus Christ, to exercise their faith in their everyday living. So James reminds us that our faith must be lived out. Our faith must be active faith. Faith without works is dead. So our faith must show by the works that we do. So we don't just sit down and say we have faith, but we work because we have faith. So faith is active. So it reminds us that a dead faith is worse than not having any faith at all. So faith must bring forth action. True faith manifests itself in works of faith. So it's just a reminder to us that we have to be people of faith, people who are actively involved in the kingdom of God, actively doing the work of God, making Jesus manifested in every area of our lives. So others will see Christ in us and come to glorify his name. He made it clear that our faith in Christ gives us power to endure trials, to resist temptations, to be obedient to the word of God. Our faith in Christ causes us not to display prejudice or show favoritism. It allows us to walk in godly wisdom. Our faith in Christ gives us self-control so we can keep our speech seasoned with salt, keeping our words in check. Faith produces separation from the world and complete submission to God, power to resist the enemy, to resist the devil, and to draw near to God. Our faith in Christ causes us to pray the prayer of faith for the sick, and they receive their healing. Our faith causes us to wait patiently for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to come to understand that faith is active. Our faith has to be active faith. We want to place our confidence solely in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see, as James spoke in chapter 1 and verse 1, he said, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. So James was just reminding us, when we fall into testing, we must see it as joy. We must see it as a joyful thing when we fall into temptation, knowing that the trying of our faith worketh endurance. So when endurance is a product of the Holy Spirit, so when our faith are tried, and people of God, and we endure to the end, we are producing, the Holy Spirit is producing in us the fruit of endurance. But we have to allow endurance to have its perfect work, its complete work in us, as verse 4 said, so that we may be complete, we may be mature and whole, entire, whole, lacking nothing. So that's the place that God wants us to be. So James was just reminding us to go through, when we're going through, knowing that God is with us, people of God, and we can go through any situation because we know that our God is with us and he's able to see us through. We see that testings will come, but those who endure to the end shall be saved. And we also remember, as James said in James 1:5, if any of us lack wisdom, we should ask of the Lord, and he will grant it to us liberally without scolding. And it shall be given to us. So God is ready and willing to pour his wisdom on us. But we have to go to him. We have to admit that we are not wise. Some areas of our life, we are just not wise in those areas. So we go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not wise. I need your wisdom. I need heavenly wisdom. And he surely will pour out that wisdom on us. So we need wisdom to live in this life, and we need to walk in truth and holiness. And we need to walk by faith, as the word said in verse 6 of James 1, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea. We don't want to be wavering in our faith. We want to have stable faith, and we want to know that whatever we ask the Lord, that we will receive it. For if we are wavering, the word said in verse 7, that we shall not receive anything of the Lord. And the word also in James remind us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. James 1:22 tells us, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So people of God, we don't want to be deceiving ourselves. We want to be doers of the word. We want to practice what God says, and we are surely going to see the end result of it. Good success will come to us if we practice the word, as the Lord spoke to Joshua in Joshua 1:8, that if you observe to do all that is written in the law, then you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. So, people of God, it's for us to do what the Lord says, and we are going to see the good success in our lives. And we see in chapter 2 of James, chapter 2, we see where James was telling us not to show favoritism. We shouldn't have any favorites. God's people are not supposed to show favoritism. We are supposed to walk and knowing that everyone is equal in God's sight. We are supposed to show the same love for each other and do not go forth and show favoritism. We want to be those people of God who will walk in truth and honesty. God knows the heart. He knows when we are showing favoritism. He knows when we are partial. So we don't want to be people who are partial, but we want to be those that will walk in truth and honesty. And we want to be like Jesus. So we have to know, as believers in Jesus Christ, to walk to walk in love and not showing partiality, and know how to deal with each other in love. But the word of God tells us that we have to know how to deal with each other. If verse 2 of chapter 2 said, if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there comes in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the fine clothes, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. James said, are you not then partial in yourself, and are become judges of evil thoughts? So we don't want to be partial people of God. We want to do what the Lord says. We want to walk in truth and honesty, and we don't want to be showing any favoritism to anyone. We want to be like Jesus. He didn't have any favorites. He loved everyone, and we also have to show the love of Jesus as we continue on this walk. We want to be people who are pure in our hearts, pure in our minds, and let our motives be right. In whatever we're doing, let our motives be right. So chapter 2 tells us a lot about us walking in truth and honesty, not showing favoritism or partiality, but doing the work of the Lord, loving one another, and walking in truth, walking by faith. It reminds us also that our walk is a faith walk. So we have to show our faith by our works. So we know that we have to be people who practice what we say. We practice what we say. And when we start to practice God's word, when we start to do what he says we are to do, then our faith is active. So James also speaks in this chapter, an active faith must be seen in the lives of the believers. We want to be people who are active in our faith in Christ Jesus. And we see, people of God, in chapter 3, the word tells us about controlling our speech. And especially in verses 1 through 8, it tells about controlling our speech. It tells us, people of God, that this tongue is an unruly member. It's so unruly, we can't tame it. No one can tame it. But people of God, the Holy Spirit is able. The Holy Spirit is able to bring our whole body, our whole mind under subjection. We are to be completely yielded to the Holy Spirit, and he will bring forth that fruit. He will produce that fruit of self-control in us. So as people of God, we have to understand that we cannot do the things that we want to do. We cannot control ourselves. We are not in a state to even control ourselves. But the Holy Spirit in us is able to control us, so that when we speak, We will speak from a place of self-control. We don't spill words carelessly, but we want to be those that speak the word of God, speak the truth, speak our truth in love. And the word tells us that every other beast on the earth and animals can be tamed, but only the tongue, only our speech, which we it's so hard for us to control. Many times we say words that truly cause a lot of dissension among us, cause a lot of disunity, cause a lot of heartache and pain because of words that we say. So we have to be careful and know that God is calling us to turn to Him and to allow the Holy Spirit to change our hearts so that we will be people who speaks words to edify, words to build up one another, words that will bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. So James was just reminding us in James chapter 3 that that little unruly member, that tongue, it's very hard to control. So even the horses, he said, and the sheep can be controlled. The sheep is controlled with a rudder. The horse is controlled with bits. But the tongue, no, a little unruly member, no one can tame. Only the Holy Spirit is able to bring us to the place of self-control where we can control our speech, where our speech can become attractive, where our speech can become gracious, bringing honor and glory to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 4 reminds us, people of God, that prayers are supposed to be God-centered. Many times the word tells us that we pray amiss because we pray for the wrong things and for the wrong reason. We don't want to be praying amiss, people of God. We want to be praying as the Lord has called us to pray. We want to be praying with the right motives, with the right intentions. So we want to be people of God who pray and we see answered prayers because we are praying with the right motives. The word of God says in James 4, 2, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Look at verse 3, say, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your loss. So we ask in coming in prayer to God for the right, for the wrong things. We have the wrong motive, but we want to know that we have to come to God with the right motives. We have to come to God with the right intention. He knows the heart. He knows what we are going to do with what we're asking for. He knows everything. So we want our prayers to be answered. We want our prayers to be God-centered. We don't want our prayers to be self-centered prayers. We want our prayers to be what God wants us to pray for according to His will. Let your will be done, Lord, not our will, but your will be done. And we see also in this same chapter 4 that the word of God tells us about submission, submitting ourselves to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So he's just showing us, people of God, how we are to fight daily in this daily walk with Christ. This is how we fight, by staying submitted to God. And when we are submitted to him, what he does, he fights for us. But if we are not submitted to him, people of God, we are going to be defeated. So we have to understand what it means to submit to God. We yield ourselves to him voluntarily. We are under his subjection. We are yielded to his word. We are walking in obedience to his word. So he's calling us to be in a state of submission, submitted to his word, walking in his will. And we are going to be in a state now to resist the enemy. So we are walking by faith in God's word, trusting God's word, obeying God's word. Now we can resist the enemy. The enemy has nothing over us when we are submitted. So we have to be submitted, as James said to us in James 4, 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Fight him. fight the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. We have no resistance if we are not submitted. So the first thing we have to do, people of God, is submit ourselves to God. And when we submit ourselves to God, we have power to resist the enemy. So the Lord is showing us how to live this Christian life. He's just showing us through James, through his servant James. He's just showing us through these words, people of God, that we must be submitted to him, submitted to the word. Allow the word to rule and to govern our lives. Allow the word of God to take first place in our lives. The word of God must be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The word of God must show us the path that we are to take. He said he will show us the path that we are to take. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So we want to walk in truth and honesty. We want to draw nigh to God. Chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So the Lord is calling us, people of God, to cleanse our hearts, cleanse our minds, draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh to us. Cleanse our hands, stop doing the wrong things, and cleanse and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Ask the Holy Spirit to clean us up, to create in us clean hearts, and renew a right spirit within us. So the Lord is calling us to a higher place in him. He's calling us to that place of living the Christian life, not just speaking it, but be true people of God who will practice God's word, be doers of the word and not hearers only. We cannot be just hearing God's word and be puffed up with pride, because many times, because we know so much word, we become prideful. We become proud people who will go about thinking that we know it all. But when we start to practice God's word, it is pleasing unto him. It is showing that we are walking in obedience to his word. So we want to submit to his word. We want to resist the enemy and he will flee from us. We want to draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to us. People of God, the Lord is speaking to our hearts. Are we willing to obey? Are we willing to say yes to him? So this practical teaching comes to show us how to live this Christian life, how to walk by faith and not by sight, how to walk in purity of heart, how to endure hardship, how to continue the walk no matter how much persecution come upon us. We are still submitted to God. We are still submitted to the word. We are still walking by faith, trusting God. So God is calling us to higher heights and deeper depths in him. God is calling us to that place of complete submission to his will and to his way. So we see, people of God, in chapter 5, we spoke of what will happen to those who trust in their riches, and we see the importance of the prayer of a righteous man. So let us continue to pray. Let us continue to trust the Lord and know that he is calling us to do his will, to live that life of humble obedience to his will. God bless you all. Thank you all for tuning in and listening to this series on the Epistle of James. And we just pray that this word will just motivate us, will just stir us up to really practice God's word. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to your people. We thank you for the end of this epistle. And we just thank you, mighty God, that your people have gleaned from this word and they will walk in truth and honesty, bringing honor to your name. We thank you again for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we look to you by faith in no other name but the name of Jesus, who is worthy to receive glory and honor. We look to you and we say thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful weekend. Next week, we'll come with a new series. Be ready to go through that series with us. God bless you. Praise God.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477.